morning, folks. Welcome back. Happy Friday. And it's time to talk about the first week of a year that is, well, a whole hell of a lot. And I use that term explicitly because the intent of the major powers in the world, the deep state, all of those who are jonesing to destroy it, is to move the entire world down the road to hell and to try to create a hell on earth. So we're seeing that play out. But there are a lot of things that are positive, too, largely that a lot of folks, and we've talked about this for weeks, have been waking up to just how evil things are and how many the lies are and how pervasive the lies are and how thick the smoke is to keep them covered up. So with that, let me say, hey, good morning. Got David Justice on with us this morning. Randy, unfortunately, is not feeling up to being back quite yet, but we're going to get him soon. In any case, good morning, David. How are you doing?
Good morning, Wells. Happy New Year. And, you know, we're off to a very interesting start. And like you said, I think the good news is, as much as the hell on earth that has been created and they're trying to finish off their masterpiece, there's a lot of good news in that people are awakening, as a result of the pain and the, being pushed into a corner and realizing that there's no way out but in, and the end would be the kingdom of heaven within us. So it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Mark.
Okay. Well, so let me just ask you, we have yet another failed vote to coronate the Nancy Pelosi wannabe in the House of, still it's not the House of Representatives, it's still the House of Communists, it looks like, although there are at least 20 or more that are pushing back against it. Maybe a few more that will come along and realize, hey, you know, a second word, bird of prey wing flapping in unison isn't going to get it. So we'll see how that plays out. But anyway, no Speaker of the House yet, and that means the House isn't doing anything truly evil, which is probably good news. And on a lot of other fronts, there are more things that just keep coming out. Where do you want to start, David?
Well, let's finish off the conversation you started. You know, the what's going on up there is there's a lot of pushback. The House needs a speaker to facilitate business, and they need someone, the Republicans, because they hold the majority. They would like to have a speaker that is a true conservative instead of someone like McCarthy, who just, you know, reeks of the D.C. swamp. You know, Gates even nominated Trump to be Speaker of the House, which I thought was extremely interesting. I was not aware that you didn't have to be a member of the House in order to be Speaker, but apparently, you know, there's something new. They,
you know, actually,
the House needs,
that's been talked about for months.
218 votes.
Just quickly, David, that's been talked about for months. There has been discussion from the Q type of folks out there saying, oh, maybe that's what will happen. The Republicans will unite and they'll pick Trump to be Speaker of the House. Obviously, he's been weakened politically over the last couple of months. That doesn't look like a real possibility, but at least that one is still out there floating around. Yeah, there is nothing in the rules or in the for that matter, in the Constitution that says that the Speaker of the House actually has to be a representative.
Well, what we know is, here's what we know. We know that 218 votes are needed to elect a speaker. Right now, the GOP has 222 House members. So out of the 222 Republicans, they can't get 218 votes for the speaker. So McCarthy, he's lost what? Are we up to 10 votes now, did you say?
No, it's 11 as of this morning. And I'll mention that story if you hadn't seen it here in just a second, because it's kind of humorous. The headline says it all. McCarthy is now walking back talk of a deal, and he started shouting at reporters on the call at 10:45 a.m. the Eastern Time update here, which is just a little while ago. He doesn't have a deal in place, and sounds like he's basically backing off before he even has a chance to lie his way into the office. So there you go. He told reporters, "We're going to make progress today. We're going to shock you," he said. "But we got a couple of members that need to. We got to get it done." Politico, Punchbowl, others are saying, "Well, the situation's highly fluid." So we'll see how it plays out. They talk about adjourning on the one hand and doing something different on the others. There's a fellow from Colorado, not one of the greater representatives in Congress, but Ken Buck was on the Criminally Negligent Network last night and said if Steve Scalise meets the three needs that they have outlined, basically having to do with changes in rules and changes in policy, then maybe he'll be able to move forward and take the speakership. And I have to admit, Scalise, in my mind, not a perfect candidate, but certainly far better than the rhino, the open rhino.
Well, so, you know what we've got? It is good news and bad news simultaneously, I think, but it is very interesting. Nothing like this has ever happened in the history of Congress where we've gone to this many votes.
What's
the good news of what is, go ahead.
No, we've now gone back 100 years. But the last time this happened was pre-Civil War. So interestingly, there's a parallel there. Just before the last Civil War, they went to, I had the number sitting on my screen here. It was well over 100 votes that it took in the late 1850s to elect a speaker then. And, they're getting way back in history though, at least.
I had completely missed that. So there was a time prior to the Civil War.
Oh yeah, there has.
Where this happened.
The other day when they failed to coronate the rhino on the first vote, that took us back. It hadn't happened in almost a century since essentially the Roaring Twenties. And now with this many votes, you got to go further back in time. So yeah, pre-Civil War was the last time we saw something quite like this. And I can't help but think, yeah, the parallels are not surprising.
Well, the reality that true conservatives are not just going to buckle to the establishment rhinos who are part of the Democrat. Actually, I shouldn't say Democrat. Let's call it the globalist agenda. And the both parties are being used. We're being divided to the end of being divided and conquered, because that's how you take over a nation from within. But this is a reflection of people finally standing up and pushing back. And, you know, Jesus said that don't think I came to bring peace, but a sword. And he talked about how truth divides. And so I'm glad to see a robust, healthy division, by people who are refusing to just capitulate and have the status quo perpetuated, which, like you said earlier, would just be a Nancy Pelosi knockoff. So, no, I'm not particularly excited about McCarthy, and I kind of hope that gentleman Scalise gets in there. I think that he would be a better choice, but then, you know, you want to keep your enemies close, so maybe McCarthy should be in charge so we can keep a close eye.
If McCarthy's in charge, why not, David? We might as well just all say, okay, we knew that there was no hope for the House. I would still say that's the most likely outcome, is that more business as usual and the rhinos will prevail and they'll sell out and we'll get a complete return to the status quo, which means back to the road to hell. So, while that's the course to expect, it's interesting, as you point out, to at least see some fireworks along the way. And I do hope that there'll be more. I did see just now here, this is the last time, the only time this has happened was, 1859, that there were more than this many votes. So again, pre-Civil War. Let me throw out a couple more, I think, interesting stories. Not only is, there are more fireworks, there is a Republican holdout named Ralph Norman, representative, who says he expected, and it looks like they didn't get it, a written offer sometime Thursday night to end the standoff, and that didn't happen. Here's another one. Now, there's a particularly nasty rhino, and his name is Don Bacon, and he's full of pork, I guess. Alleged Republican, he's about as rhino as they get. He literally wants to defect and give the Democrats the ability to do something if the rhinos won't put in their near Democrat. And what I thought was interesting was then this came out. This is dated this morning. Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida, who's been one of the leaders of the opposition, has said that if the Republican Party negotiates with Democrats to put a rhino like McCarthy, to put specifically Rhino McCarthy in there as Speaker, he announced his intentions to resign from Congress. This was on Fox News, Ingram Angle. He said that if they're going to sell out this badly, then he's just going to basically throw in the towel and say, no, it's not okay what they're doing. So So he would resign from Congress. And that's that at least is the kind of chutzpah that I think is going to be required to see any real change. By the way, I've been pretty happy with Lauren Boebert, too. She seems to have some more cojones than most of the rhinos, for sure.
Well, this is how shooting wars get started. We've talked a lot about the nation already being at war. The conflict, like prior to the Civil War, runs so deep that we have an irreconcilable conflict. If our father doesn't raise up true ambassadors to be able to communicate truth to the sellouts, in such a way that the sellouts are awakened, not woke, but awakened to the reality of the lie, and that they're being used as tools to destroy America. And no sooner will America be destroyed than they'll be thrown under the bus, because that's the way dictatorships work. The people that facilitated the will of the dictator or the despot or the, you know, the individual that is really ultimately looking for ultimate power, he ends up throwing the people that helped him get that power, like Hitler, he throws them under the bus and basically ends up murdering all of the people that helped him or her, that in this case could be, to rise up into that position. So that's what needs to happen, is we need some nonpartisan, not lukewarm people, but people that really understand the distinction between the lies, which are the narrative, and the truth, which is just reality, and to bring this nation back under some semblance of order. Otherwise, you know, we are heading to something much more disastrous. Thanks, Mark.
Well, and let's add this, David, just to be honest here. I don't think we're going to get that. Honestly, I don't think we're going to get a candidate that understands exactly how far gone things are and that is truly willing to come up and tell the American people the truth. That would be nice, and I certainly would be praying that that'll happen. I do also pray that those things that are being hidden would be revealed, and we know that that is going to happen. But I don't necessarily expect, and matter of fact, I don't even believe that it'll come from a political source. So, color me really skeptical on all of these things. But you're right. Just the fact that the battle is being played out is a positive thing. And even if there's a slight move in the non-McCarthy, non-Rhino direction, that's got to be an improvement. We'll see. Meanwhile, you know that the Hakeem Jeffries, the outright communists on the far left side of the aisle, are united, and that is the threat that they're holding over the rest of the people. Is, oh look, if you're not willing to accept a rhino who will go along to get along, we'll give you an outright communist. And I guess my reaction to that is, big deal. You might as well come right out and admit it, that that's what all of these people are, whether they pretend to be a rhino or they just come out and say, I'm a communist and I want to take your life, your home, your kids, and everything else. Let's just have them come out and do it. Be honest about it.
Well, when it really comes down to it, what we're dealing with is a matter of life and death. The bottom line is the reasons that the I'll call them ultra conservatives, the true conservatives, the reason they want an individual to be speaker is so that true investigation can be done into the election fraud. True investigation can be done on the January 6th fraud. And we can dig into some things that would really significantly make a difference. The corona virus scam and the vaccines. Those types of things, and Fauci, need to be investigated, and we put a guy like McCarthy in there and he just perpetuates the agenda of that Nancy Pelosi was protecting, which is to obfuscate the truth and an understanding of reality so that the narrative can be foisted upon us as reality.
You realize you have just described exactly the situation and exactly the reason why it's so important that the left and the culpable people want to keep a rhino in there. They don't really care if it's a far-left rhino or just a plain old go-along rhino. Either way, they get to cover up the criminality, and they get to continue it. So that is, in fact, the real battle here. If there is not somebody that's willing to do it right, it doesn't truly make a whole lot of difference what you get instead.
The battle is really for the narrative. This is the ultimate battle, really, that Armageddon, if I don't know if you want to call it that, that will ultimately culminate on this planet. It will be the battle of truth versus the battle of the lie, which I call the narrative. It's the facade that is foisted upon us by law. Law people using sophistry foist a narrative on us, and we'll call it fiat. It's a fiat law. It's not real. It's manufactured, and yet it becomes such a reality that anybody that wants to tell the truth about it becomes censored. This is how dictatorships work. You know, we're already seeing out in California where California passed the law to restrain medical doctors from giving their opinion about any subject in public at the cost of losing their license. We're looking at Jordan Peterson up there in California. They want to do a re-education program with him. They're ordering him to come in here and get re-educated at the expense, if he fails to, of losing his license to call himself a psychologist. So we're now coming into the battle where the narrative is attempting to foist its lie on us as truth, which forces us then to stand in truth against the lie and see where the chips fall, Mark.
And honestly, you know, when I see the things that are being done in the People's Republic of California, I can't help but suggest, David, I wrote California off years ago. The place is absolutely irredeemable at this point, and too bad, because it's pretty, used to be anyway, and there was a lot to recommend it. I know some really, really good people who have come out of there and escaped, and I know some at least probably good people who are going down with the ship there. That's sad, but ultimately, if California is redeemable, I can't think that it'll only be by the hand of the Almighty himself, because, and if anything else, it's more likely he'll just take it and submerge it beneath the waves. What a stinking fetid mess. My concern is that the other states that they're trying to take along with it. Looks like the left coast is almost gone at this point. In Colorado, we have a real interesting dichotomy. Certainly here in southern Colorado and in places where there are a rural farm, ranch, and mountain people, they have no love at all for the communists in Denver, and there is a real divide. We're seeing it on a local level. That doesn't mean that most of the country doesn't view Colorado kind of like we view most of California. I know there are rural areas in California, too, but they're really being taken down. Anyway, I'll throw this story out because it kind of helps to define that situation. In the 2020 election, this is a piece from the Gateway Pundit this morning, Colorado Secretary of State, a true scumbag, and you know that probably more than most people, sent out 31,000 mailers, postcards, to foreigners asking them to register to vote. Gina Griswold. She's almost but not quite as bad as a Katie Hobbs, but she knows that foreigners are breaking the law if they register to vote. But, hey, so is she, so who cares? Go ahead.
Well, you know, this brings up, this triggers a couple of spiderwebs. I want to go back to what you said about Californians leaving California and coming to Colorado. In Delta County, Colorado, right now, this is a real-time something happening. A county administrator from Monterey, California, moved to Delta County and is now working with the planning counting board to implement a new land use resolution that very similar, if not identical, and they're incrementally introducing it into Delta County, similar, if not identical, to the Monterey, California land use resolution. So several people in the Delta County area are now outraged, and there's a movement forming in Delta County to converge upon the county planning commissions so as to stop this particular agenda, because the land use resolution is basically a communist takeover of the use of private property for public interest. So that's an interesting story. Now, as far as the other story goes with Gina Griswold, a trial against Tina Peters is coming up over the course of the next month, beginning on the 12th of January. There's going to be a Jericho march around the courthouse big group of people is planning on marching around the courthouse facility and the jail facility in that area in Grand Junction for 7 days, and then on day seven they're gonna go march around seven times. But Tina Peters is being charged with some very heinous crimes, and she's basically laying her life down for the American people to expose the Dominion corruption within the voting machines that ultimately have caused Colorado to become a blue state. So Tina Peters has the smoking gun. The establishment has to take her out. And this is exactly the same reason why the gridlock in the House of Representatives, when the truth comes out about the fact that all of the voting machines are rigged to prevent good-hearted, true patriotic Americans from getting into office so that true change can be made, that's ultimately what we're dealing with. And this election cycle, this year is going to be the year when the wheels fall off and the truth does come out. And so let's all be praying for Tina Peters' victory. Let's pray for Jenna Griswold's demise. Let's pray for the truth to take hold such that it exposes the narrative. And that'll be a good New Year's resolution, Mark.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it works out. Again, when it comes to the crooked court system, color me skeptical. I have yet to see a bought and paid for, whored out communist court, which is basically what we have in most of America, not all of it, but certainly the vast majority, do anything except cave and make things worse. So if Tina Peters is able to prevail in the court system, praise be to Yah, because he's the one that did it. And it's not because the court itself intends to do the right thing. And I know that he is fully capable of pressuring them to do that. But it's going to take, in fact, a miracle from on high in most of these courts. As a matter of fact, honestly, if we still had transparency, if we still had a court system that cared about truth and justice and the law, Tina Peters wouldn't be on trial, basically fighting for her life against the corrupt system that her crime consisted of exposing. So that's a big indicator right there.
Let's pray that this criminal trial that Tina's about to go through is going to backfire. And Amen. There's my prayer, is to backfire. On the other side of the break, when we come back, I'd like to talk about the case that's being heard by the Supreme Court today to decide whether they're going to hear it, that was filed by several brothers in Utah.
Oh, you're talking about, okay.
We'll talk about that on the flip
side. We'll go ahead and do that. I don't know, honestly. Color me skeptical on that one too, but hey, I would love to be wrong. So, we'll do that after the bottom of the hour break. I also want to talk about some of the other things that are being revealed after the bottom of the hour. There were some tremendous things that were laid forth on the death front this week. But let's go to the break with a couple more quick stories that kind of show the other side of the coin. Here's one. We had a communist inaugurated on January the 1st in Brazil. Brazil has now fallen. A story that was published over the weekend said it's down to the wire. There'll be civil war if the army doesn't act. They had the constitutional authority, the army did, in Brazil to say this election was rigged, it was crooked, there was CIA involvement, there was all kinds of communist stuff going on here. A criminal cannot be allowed to take the oath of office. Well, wait a second, too late. And they basically went down with a whimper. As near as I can tell, I looked the other day, I didn't see much out of Brazil except the communists, literally, open communist papers praising the fact that they have taken over. And so Brazil has gone commie, it's gone, and as far as most Americans are concerned, what happened? We never even noticed. And I'm not hearing about the protests. That doesn't mean they're not still going on, but what they are doing is mopping up the resistors, just like the Biden regime did. They're going to throw them in Brazilian gulags, no doubt, and they've already been doing some of that. Any comment on that one? Then I'll throw out one more quick story if we have it before the break. No, I don't guess we have time.
Yeah, just real quick. Yeah, The fact that the entire monetary system is based upon fiat currency. Whoops, I hear the break coming on. We'll come back on the other side of the break.
morning. Again, folks, welcome back. This is the Drive Time Friday Show, and we are live talking about the first week of a year that looks a lot like last year, and there are some good news and bad news elements to that. We are at this point talking about some of the smaller stories that give us a little bit of a clue as to the bigger ones. And let me go to David. I know he had a couple of things he wanted to say, so start us off here on this one.
Well, so I want on this side of the break, I wanted to talk just briefly, introduce the audience if they're not aware of it, of the lawsuit called Brunson versus Alma, where a brother, one of four brothers, filed a lawsuit. This is from Utah, suing 385 members of Congress, which would include Biden, Harris, and Pence, over the fact that during January 6th, 100 members of the House of Representatives raised concerns about election integrity and outright fraud, and the remaining members of the House of Congress basically ignored the 100's complaint and went ahead and accepted the certification of the Electoral College to the Congress, validating the election, and thereby we have a new president, Joe Biden. This lawsuit basically charges that the members of Congress that did not even have a conversation about the claims of the 100 are being charged with treason inside this lawsuit. This thing has worked its way up through the court system, and on this year in November, the particularly November 30th, the Supreme Court of the United States decided to set a conference date for a day, January 6, 2023. The nine justices will meet today to discuss the case and decide whether they want to move it to a hearing, where they will officially judge the case and decide by vote if the defendant should be removed from office. What the lawsuit is asking the court to do is to not just hear the case of treason, but to have all of these members of Congress removed from office, and if this is successful, none of these members would ever be able to hold office, not even as a dog catcher ever again.
Well, that's what they're trying to do.
So this case,
I think the bad guys have a better chance of pulling that stunt with Trump than the good guys do pulling it against anybody that is anointed by the deep state. So again, I'm skeptical. I hope and I pray that you're right, that this is different than it looks like it's going to turn out, but I can't have a whole lot of optimism. I heard some fairly high profile people that have been before the Supreme Court saying, look, it has no chance whatsoever that all that's really happened here, in spite of the fact that it's got a lot of good press, is that the court is trying to help a pro se litigant. They do that all the time. That is allegedly to their credit, that they will help people do these things, and yet, the truth be told, they have no intention of doing the right thing. We'll see it. I think there are a couple justices on the court, obviously, Clarence Thomas and Alito and maybe a couple of others. We'll see. But, from everything I have heard from people that do seem to understand how the court works, the procedure is what's being followed, and as far as the law is concerned, they're not going to go for it. So I guess we'll find out at least, and that'll be the good news. I'm encouraged because more and more people are waking up and saying, hey, something needs to happen here, and that part's true. But once again, I don't expect it to come through a change in the court. The court could have, for example, done the right thing on Roe v. Wade years ago. They didn't, and the fact that they did is good news, but more importantly, Congress had the authority decades ago. They've always had the authority, kind of like the ruby red slippers and the Wizard of Oz. They've always had the authority to say the Supreme Court has nothing to say, for example, about abortion. But the Congress didn't do the easy right thing. And here we are still expecting the court somehow or other to rush in and do magic, almost like the leftists believe that's the only way it could possibly happen. Go ahead.
Okay, America's the unique thing about America is it was the first nation to come up with this constitution within which the separation of powers was distinguished. The separation of powers means that you have an executive branch, a legislative branch, and a judicial branch. And the whole purpose of the judicial branch is to basically provide a battlefield where issues can be discussed, and you go to law school, you find that it's an adversarial system.
Whoops. Did we
system
lose you, David?
Where who can.
David, we're losing you, it looks like.
The function of the judiciary is ultimately to get to the truth and to that end. Jury, you know, and all this. And so here's my biggest concern of all about what you're saying. I'm not saying it's not true, but I don't want to give in to the fact that there's just no chance of anything happening in the courts anymore, because if you're taking that battlefield away, if you're taking that forum away where people can work out their differences in an orderly fashion, then that leaves only one box left, and that's the powder box. And so if we've lost the Senate, if we've lost the House, if we've lost the presidency, and we've lost the courts, and there's absolutely nothing left, the concern is we're back to 1859, and we're staring right down the barrel of another Civil War, Mark. And so there's my biggest concern, and that's why I don't want to go negative, and I want to remain positive and hope that, okay, I just want you to be wrong.
Look, I'm on your team. I hope and pray that I'm wrong, but let's just put it this way. The cynicism that we should have here is well-deserved and well-earned, because we have every reason to suspect that the same kind of evil that's been pushing this will continue to do this level of evil.
Oh, I remember what I was wanting to say right before the break, you know, because we were talking about what's going on down there in Brazil. Okay, so on top of everything I just said, we've got a financial monetary system that basically grows money on trees. It's an imaginary monetary system. And so if the election system has been commandeered in the House and the Senate and the presidency and the courts, and they can make any amount of money they want, so they can bribe anyone they want and there's nothing to stop the ability to create money out of thin air, the magnitude of the problem is so huge, it really begs the question, okay, what then, how then shall we live?
Okay, Mark? That is well phrased. I love that, because that is precisely the answer. Honestly, David, now this is Markology. This is my interpretation of prophecy and looking at the totality of Scripture and saying, given that we know there's this greater exodus coming, things are building to a head, we see the mark of the beast coming, how is it all going to play out? I think it looks like this, that men are going to realize, oh, wait a minute, the courts aren't going to save me, a vote isn't going to save me, a money supply fix isn't going to save me, Bitcoin isn't going to save me, and maybe even gold and silver won't save me, although they are at least a return in the right direction. What is it that can save me? And the answer is, one by one by one, the creator of the universe is removing all of the alternatives, all of the arm of flesh, and saying, look, you want salvation? You better turn to me. Same answer as it's always been. Come out of her and recognize there is no hope for you, no prayer for you, unless you pray to me, unless you come to me, unless you realize that all of these things that you've put your hope in have turned up empty. That includes the Supreme Court. That includes the almighty Trump. That includes you name it. If it's out there in the world today pretending to be salvation, Brunson or anything else, it's going to fail. And the only option is return to me, just like he has told us since day one. Go ahead.
If my people, and I quote Second Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wickedness, I will heal their land. So, you know, what we're really coming down to, and I'm going to throw this in, is the need for separation. We're told to come out of her out of among them. The systems of the world, I think that the mark of the beast 666 ultimately represents the systems of the world. Man's institutions. As to the degree that we come out of them and stop depending on them, and we've had this conversation more than a few times, stop depending on the arm of men, as you just said. Get on our knees and pray. Start depending on the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Start depending on the truth and understanding the truth, and we'll be led into exactly the answers we need to know when we need to know them, Mark.
I completely agree. And again, I think that's the bottom line here. Well, let's talk about some of those other things. That's a good segue to where I was wanting to go anyway. And it has to do with some of the other big lies. Here, let's get this one out of the way. This is a small one. New book by ex-Capitol Police Chief confirms the report that came from the GOP on Pelosi's capability for January 6th. This is like the Twitter files. Did you know that Fauci was producing gain-of-function research? Did you know that this was a bioweapon that was developed? Did you know that the FBI and the DIA and the CIA and any TLA, three-letter agency you can name, they were all pushing Twitter, pushing to Facebook, to silence, to gang rape the Bill of Rights. And the ex-Capitol Police Chief revealed that it was Pelosi that had basically done the bad things to make sure that the insurrection narrative came off as planned. Okay, surprise. Tell me something we didn't know. There were studies out of Switzerland and out of Germany this week. The Swiss study came out and it said, hey, here's a bombshell. 1 in 27 jab recipients, poison poke takers, ends up with outright heart injury, myocarditis. They stroke out, they die. They maybe do it on Monday Night Football. Hey, that one's hard to cover up. But it turns out that, subclinical myocarditis, as they're calling it, can develop without awareness, and they suggest that literally everybody who got the real poison poke, as opposed to a placebo, who got jabbed with the mRNA, has suffered, whether they've seen it yet or not, some degree of heart damage. Well, that sounds pretty negative. How about this one? German study. The COVID-19 vaccines that aren't vaccines perpetuated the pandemic, and oh yeah, they caused immune system failure. This one's pretty technical. It involves all kind of immune responses, but basically the more poison pokes you take, the more of the wrong kind of immune response you get until you don't get any at all. And turns out that the variants that have been bred, exactly like Dr. Geert Vandenbosch talked about 2 years ago, were the ones that were most resistant to the so-called not vaccines. And guess who's dying from it? Guess who's suffering multiple relapses? Those that took the poison poke. Okay. More than 270 sudden cardiac deaths in U.S. athletics. This is a peer-reviewed study that included Dr. Peter McCulloch. And as we saw this week, we had not one but two NFL types. They were all, as we know, pressured mightily. Did they all take it? Well, they're not going to tell you. And guess why? But one of them collapsed and almost died on national TV. The other one did die in his wife's bedroom. And what does all this prove? Well, here you go. Here's the good news out of all this. A Rasmussen poll this week. Nearly half of Americans now realize, I'm going to put it that way, that the COVID-19 not vaccines are probably to blame. Some of them say, well, at least they're willing to admit it. For many unexplained deaths, sudden athlete death syndrome, sudden adult death syndrome, lots and lots of dead people, no explanation except the obvious. And now there are fully 28%, over 1 in 4 American adults that say they personally probably know someone who died from the Zyklon B. So this is the kind of thing, David, that they can't cover up. And it's exactly what I was getting at the point where people realize the great God medicine and the great God Fauci and all of these lying, horrid sons of Satan who walk in men's shoes, they didn't save you either. Maybe you better turn to the real God as opposed to the fakes. Go ahead.
Well, not only did they not save you, they set into motion a lie, a deception, to protect their bigger picture narrative, the one they want us to all buy in and forsake the truth, so that they can have total control, and that includes total censorship. Like, for example, you mentioned the Twitter files. Musk said that 250,000 accounts were the government demanded that these accounts be deleted. And that's just on Twitter. This doesn't include Facebook and the other social media platforms. But clearly, Musk is revealing the total infiltration. And we knew this, but now we're coming forth, Musk is coming forth with the evidence that they are in total control of the hypnosis. You know, some people want to call it brainwashing, but the idea is to maintain control of what is heard so that they can maintain control of their reality on this planet, this artificial hell that they're creating on Earth, so that they can continue to fly around in their jets while we're down here on the bottom eating bugs. And that's the agenda. And it's becoming so obvious that I think it is increasingly more difficult to not see. You know, if you really don't love the truth, you're not going to see it. But I think more and more people are going to come into it. Now, what's the one thing that, and I've said this before, the one thing that this group needs is time. So as long as they can continue to obfuscate the truth using the narrative, they're buying themselves more time, because they know their days are numbered, because this thing they're creating is not sustainable, which gives us an advantage to know that it's not sustainable, so that we can look for, okay, how do I plug in to do a part as an ambassador of the truth of my Father in heaven on this planet, to be a light, to be salt, so that we can combat this thing in such a way as to push back. And I believe the Holy Spirit has given us the power to accomplish that. So we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All we need is a little faith and a little love and a little community and a little knowing that we work for, and as a matter of fact, our Father is the Creator, the Supreme Ruler of the universe, Mark.
All right. Well, let's talk about a couple of other things too, to kind of put the ribbons on it. One of the I guess you'd say drivers that has really affected me over the last few weeks is kind of exactly what you're talking about. It's not that we can necessarily go out and do anything to awaken people, but we need to be able to do what particularly Paul writes in the apostolic writings, the so-called New Testament, that when we're asked a question, we need to be able to give an account for the hope that is within us. And I'm certainly on board with your comments when it comes to that hope that's within us. I do not expect that it's going to happen as a result of something that Big Brother does to save us. That's a great big stinking lie. On the other hand, I do believe we need to be ready to help people, to give them information, to direct them, to teach them as the priests were supposed to do and have failed to do, the difference between the holy and the unholy, the profane, the unclean. And so for all of those reasons, we need to have kind of a number of tools in our arsenal. We can talk about the things that have not worked and the fact that, look, if you expect salvation from this quarter or from that quarter or the arm of flesh or whatever, you're probably going to be gravely disappointed. That's part A. But part B is, what are some of the other things that we can tell them about now? Well, here's one of them. This one's almost funny, and it helps to reveal part of the great big stinking lie. Big Brother is telling people, we must destroy your livelihood. We got to take away your ability to heat your house in the winter. Got to take away your SUV. Oh yeah, we need our jets so that we can jet around the world and tell people how they need to suppress you peons. And that's okay. But as for your carbon footprint, hey, you know, we want you to eat bugs instead. So one of the big elements of that is non-existent man-made global warming. We're seeing one of the coldest winters in recent memory. We just had the snowpocalypse, and a lot of indicators that, they've been lying about that too. Well, here's another one. This is funny, and as an engineer, this really resonates with me. This was a piece from Real Clear Science, and Zero Hedge put it up. How did the EVs, electric vehicles, handle America's most recent Arctic blast? The answer is, it was a disaster. This is not the same piece, but New York City has put all of these $500,000 Mercedes combination electric vehicles that are snow plows in the winter and garbage trucks the rest of the time. Well, they ought to go in the garbage. They're supposed to run for 12 hours in order to plow snow in a big snowstorm like they had. They didn't make it 4. If the driver ran the heater, it was worse still. And that's the problem with the EVs. They're no good in the winter. They don't run. When the power grid is at its weakest, you can't charge them because there's not enough power in the grid to charge them. But don't worry, you can't go anywhere anyway. You'd be stupid if you did go out in an EV, because if your car conked out, then you wouldn't even be able to run the heater to stay alive. And who knows, I don't know if they'll even tell us how many people died in their EVs freezing to death because they couldn't go in the snow. And that was the bottom line. The chargers don't work in the winter. They don't go very far. The mileage, which is pitiful already, goes even lower, and you can't charge them anyway, so who cares? And this is the solution. It's not a solution. Even in California, where they are mandating basically that if you're politically correct, you have to have one of these things, they're finding out, well, but we don't have enough power in the grid to charge them, especially not with windmills. All right, go ahead, David. These are the kind of things, at least, that should help people to realize it.
Okay, so really, you know, I have to sit back and laugh. You know, you did miss one thing, and I'm glad because now I have something to contribute. The fact that these EVs are batteries, and batteries need to be recharged. And you know what it takes to recharge a battery is gas and oil. It takes fossil fuels to recharge the grid, to provide power to the grid that recharges the battery, so you haven't gained a thing, because all you're doing in these EVs is storing energy. This is almost as bad as people that think that meat comes from the grocery store, you know? They don't understand where power comes from. They don't understand that the battery...
Plug.
No, you haven't accomplished anything. Because we're sold on this idea that we got to eliminate fossil fuels. Until we start having a conversation about zero point energy and Nikola Tesla and true, where true energy from. The conversation, everything is being sold to us on this carbon footprint and technology is complete misrepresentation, Mark.
Well, exactly. And, you know, as an engineer, the thing that resonates with me is the idea that, look, all it takes is a little simple math. No wonder they don't want people to know math. If you simply do a quick calculation of how much power it takes to drive an EV, and then how much power it takes to charge the EVs, and how many EVs they want to have, here's the easy thing. You come to the realization, no, there cannot be as many EVs as they're telling us, and that means you're not going to have one. They will, but you won't. So you do the math, and you realize... this is bogus. There is no physical way in the universe that the grid can power all of these things they're telling you that you're supposed to want and to have. And the answer? They don't ever intend for you to have an EV. They intend you to die. They intend for you to take the poison poke, and then you won't have to worry about charging your EV because you'll be dead. And this is the problem. This is the thing that I hope and pray we can all learn, have the tools, the information at our fingertips, so that when the question comes up, we can tell people, look at anything you want. Look at the climate BS. Look at the battle for the House of Representatives. Look at the law and what's been done to it. Look at economics and the meltdown. We didn't talk about that, but it's there, and it's still happening, and it's still because dishonest weights and measures are no way to run a railroad. All of these things will point in the same direction. Fake gods always lead to disaster. We have to turn to the real one. Go ahead, David. We've got about 30 seconds. Take us out.
Well, here's how unhinged our medical profession is. They're looking to Bill Gates, who is a billionaire and who's all about vaccines, and we're looking to him, who's telling us, oh, guess what's coming? I can see it on the horizon. There's another pandemic coming. So they're using the medical industry to the medical tyranny is the nose of the elephant that ultimately brings in this globalist agenda. And Bill Gates is their spokesman.
It's all right. We need to know unhinged. Better and to return to the real God, not the fake. Hey, thanks. And there's much more, folks.